Now and again, a person comes among us who seems to have a different understanding of her or his place on the earth. They see beyond the passions that guide most of our lives and about which most of our literature is written. They don't seem motivated by material gain, finding a mate, building an empire, or even a better mousetrap. They may be seen as eccentric in the eyes of the world, yet they have tremendous motivation and passion, that their energy comes from and goes toward a different source. We would be misguided to think of them as any other than very human. Ambrose Bierce in The Devil's Dictionary defined a saint as a sinner, revised and edited. I'm sure the saints would agree. Bierce may have meant to imply that subsequent revision falsified the accounts, but the saints would certainly see themselves as sinners first and edited by the very hand of God. Here's a diverse company of women and men who often at great personal cost challenged and baffled their contemporaries into new understanding, dragging the church and society into greater awareness of God. Few initially set about to change the world. Most simply tried to make themselves better human beings by trying to conform their wills to the will of God as understood in the person and teachings of Jesus Christ. Their lives show us that the gospel can be achieved in a flesh and blood life. While most of us Christians point the way toward the gospel, these show fully by example what faith and works together looks like. We gather together today to celebrate the saints, the great cloud of witnesses who have kept the faith. We remember the illustrious ones as well as our own faithful departed. And we see ourselves as part of that community, from the child who will be baptized today at the 10 o'clock service to the loved ones of this parish who rest in our memorial garden. Christians have celebrated the saints from the earliest days. The first martyr of the faith, Stephen, was remembered along with the disciples and apostles and friends of our Lord. In the ancient church, when Christians were persecuted, martyrs came to be remembered. Bishop Polycarp of Smyrna and the noblewoman Perpetua and her maid Felicity were among them, and their feast days became the days of their martyrdom. In the fourth century, the church was established in the Roman Empire, and persecution stopped. In the medieval church, the idea of holiness began to change and became more dependent on a person's reputation for miracles. A cult of the saints developed, which began to move away from the original teachings of the faith. Rather than inspiring imitation, medieval saints, such as Saint George and his feminine counterpart, Saint Margaret of Antioch, were held in awe. The Reformation challenged and changed the cult of the saints. In the 1552 Book of Common Prayer, there were four non-biblical saints. However, they were in black ink, and the biblical saints were in red. Gradually, more and more names were given commemorations, and in recent years, we've added many who led exemplary lives without miracles, including Lutherans, Roman Catholics, Orthodox Christians, as well as writers, social activists, artists, and educators. In our creed, we affirm our belief in the communion of saints, and so we claim a relationship with these heroines and heroes of the faith. In effect, we have the brightest and best, the unparalleled, the champion team on our side. We may remain oblivious to this fact. We may choose to never learn their names or their stories, but nevertheless, a relationship is there if we wish to pursue it. And regardless of our participation, we can trust we are in their prayers. They are, after all, the bulwarks of prayer in the church, That is what they did most often and best, and we may assume still do. We remember them because they inspire, challenge, and encourage us. St. Francis calls us from our shopping mall haunts to show us the lilies of the field. Joan of Arc reminds us that listening is still the better part of prayer. The good thief on the cross demonstrates that just one act of genuine love can open the gates of paradise. Oscar Wilde said, "The only difference between a saint and a sinner is that every saint has a past and every sinner has a future." To remember and reflect on the lives of the saints gives that future a bright range of possibilities. But in addition, many of us have our own particular circle of saints, those who have helped us on our road of life and reminded us what it means to be fully human. Today, we remember them. We put back together the loose bits of recollection and fortify them against time. So think of your own saints. Was it your grandmother who would sit beside you in church? Was it a friend who made it clear that her faith was important, thereby freeing you to be a similar witness? Was it a priest who made time for young people and encouraged your dreams? Or a teacher who believed in your gifts? It may have been someone who did not profess the Christian faith, but who lived it. And you know would have been a friend of Jesus. Think of them, those still alive and those who have died. This is a day to feel part of that great circle of faith. I'd like to just tell you briefly about one of my particular saints. His name was Wesley Frensdorf, and he was the Bishop of Nevada, and I served there for 1 year. He liked to refer to himself as the Left Reverend. You know, most bishops are referred to as the Right Reverend. He also answered the phone at diocesan offices himself and liked to say that he carried his cathedra with him. You know, the cathedra is the chair of the bishop, and cathedrals were built around that chair. His was a collapsible camp stool that fit into his briefcase. That's all there was in Nevada. He had been born a Jew in Germany, and his family came to America just before the rise of Hitler. But he remembered being made fun of in his homeland and finding his new shoes once filled with water at the school gymnasium. Here he converted to Christianity, but always remembered the underdog. He was kind and caring, and he loved to joke and made endless puns, many of them bad. He died suddenly and tragically in a plane crash. Yet it is hard to feel the tragedy when I think of his whimsical soul. I miss him, but simply imagine he's having fun in heaven and like to think of him in the great cloud of witnesses that is the communion of saints. I went to his grave once on a hilltop above the Episcopal camp, Camp Galilee at Lake Tahoe. There's just a marking of two crossed sticks that people keep replacing when the wind or the snow moves them. Years ago, I saw a performance of Totenkanz, the German word for dance of death, and it was an allegory told with poetry, music, and dance. In it, death comes and asks a number of people to dance. It starts with an empress and goes through a bishop, a merchant, a wealthy person, a farmer, a monk, young person, and eventually ends with a child. None of these want to meet their death. None of them want to dance. And yet they must. And they are told the significance of their life in their last moments. It's a moving piece because all the players, like all of us, will die. Someday someone may remember each one of us as we are remembering our saints. And one day our names will be read in the necrology in church. So this is also a day to reflect on our own calling and resolve to live so that at the time of our death, our regrets will be few. We do not see clearly if we imagine that the lives of the saints were easy, and we're wrong if we think they are very different from ourselves. They show us the way, and while it is all often difficult, it's also filled with moments of great joy. It's a way that has been followed and documented. And the saints had no more to work with than we do. Thomas Merton once said, "There is no way of telling people that they are all walking around shining like the sun." Amen.